Studio 360.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sean.
I'm Kurt.
Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is funny. I haven't done one of these yet.
Oh, good. So you say you grew up in Boston, but it was actually Cambridge. That's not the same as Boston.
Yeah, you can't say Boston. Cambridge is much cooler.
So were Matt Damon and Ben Affleck your babysitter?
You know, Ben and Casey's mom, Chris Affleck, was my teacher in third grade and fifth grade, and Casey Affleck was my first kiss.
Really? And I was joking about the Ben and Matt thing.
No, we went to the same high school.
And in the late 90s, at the very moment that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon got famous for Good Will Hunting, Sean Hader moved to Los Angeles for her shot at big-time show business. Of course, she worked crappy jobs, as aspiring actors and writers do, including as a hotel babysitter. And one of those jobs as a hotel babysitter inspired her new feature film called Tallulah. The title character is this young bohemian vagabond who lives out of her van. And one night in New York City, she is roaming the corridors of a hotel, scrounging for leftover food. A guest sees her and mistakes her for a hotel employee. The woman, the guest, is there to have an affair, but asks Tallulah to watch her baby while she does so.
Are you good with kids?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you watch her for me? I'll pay you. I have to go out tonight, and I can't take her with me. I'm a little nervous about her being with somebody else, but she seems to be comfortable with you already. So I think it's okay.
That is a scene from Tallulah with Tammy Blanchard playing your sort of Blanche DuBois character and Ellen Page being conscripted as a babysitter. So I guess it's not a spoiler, is it, to say then what Tallulah does?
No, it's in the trailer.
Okay. What does she do?
She, you know, the word has been debated a lot. You know, she kidnaps the baby, but she, in her mind, rescues
right.
the baby,
right.
I think.
From this woman who was clearly not prepared at that moment anyway to be a mother.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this was based, that the germ of the movie came from a moment that I had when I was working as a babysitter in L.A. for all of these high-end hotels.
When you were a newly minted college-educated actor, moved to L.A. to become an actor, but instead
I was in New York. I was working as an actor. I moved out to L.A. I was making ends meet. And I was not Tallulah, but I was certainly, you know, driving a $500 Buick and the driver's side door didn't open. So valets would have to crawl through the passenger side to take my car. I was, you know, definitely of a different socioeconomic level than most of the people whose kids I was watching.
And did you encounter some people who were that terrible?
Yeah. I mean, I would say for the most part, people were great. And, you know,
of course.
But I also did witness a kind of neglect that was occurring at this high level of society that, you know, people were staying in the penthouse suite of the Four Seasons, which was whatever, $4,000 a night, but they didn't know how to take care of their kids. And I had a particular night with this very strange woman, and that line is almost verbatim.
You mean the line is verbatim of, oh, just can you take care of this? But that can't be it because you were the babysitter.
She seems so comfortable with you already, so I guess she's okay.
Yeah. It's like a cat. Oh, she likes you.
Yeah, and you know, I was 2 minutes into the room, and it was I got home. I was really heartbroken, and by the end of the night, and she had come to the hotel to have an affair. She hadn't brought her nanny.
In real life. Oh, but you could also be describing the film.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really pulled a lot from this one evening.
Yeah.
But she returned at the end of the evening, and she was drunk and passed out on the bed, and I really desperately wanted to steal that kid.
Wow.
And I didn't, but I ended up writing about it.
Writers, writers of all kinds, fiction writers of all kinds, take material from their life, from things they overhear, they see. Rarely are they so frank and transparent about, like, the entire premise and opening scenes of this film are from life.
This is
verbatim, practically.
I mean, it's a wish fulfillment moment. It's a moment that I had where I thought, I have to take this kid, and I would do a better job than this woman, even with all of my, you know, I had a total lack of resources at that point. I was living in a tiny studio apartment. All my furniture was from the trash. Like, I didn't have any resources. I was in my 20s, you know, lost person, really. And I really wrote the movie from a place of judgment. Yes. I mean, I thought this woman should not be a mother.
Right.
And not all women were meant to be mothers. And then in the course of trying to make the movie, I became a mother.
Right.
In retrospect, it's very interesting that I wrote a film all about motherhood before I was a mother. And
like long before you
long were before. Yeah. And I'm quite relieved and grateful that it took as long as it did, because I think I rewrote the film after the birth of my daughter because I had a lot more empathy for my villain.
Right.
And I understood her and I had compassion for her. And so the script changed, and suddenly it wasn't such a clear, this is the villain, this is the hero kind of story. It was much more complex,
yeah.
And I'm grateful that I told that story.
Interesting. So you had studied acting, you were an actor, and then you were getting parts in the aughts, I see. You know, you were on this series and that series. At what point did you decide, I'll take an acting part whenever I can, but what I really want to do is direct and write?
I think when I got raped on TV for the third time. I mean, I sort of joke
Law
about that.
Law and Order something?
I mean, honestly, yeah. I, as a woman, and most of what I was going out for was guest spots and, you know,
you
come in and you're the victim and you have bruises on your face and you cry and you tell some horrible story. And there was a moment that I had, I think I was on Numbers and I had been raped and the director was pushing me to cry more. And I thought, I'm so grateful and lucky that that hasn't happened to me in my life. And here I am sitting here trying to pretend that it has. And it, I think it was a frustration with the kinds of roles that were available to me. But then more so, it was my interest in telling the whole story.
Right.
It's that I grew up doing theater. My interest in acting really came from theater. And some actors, you put a camera in front of them, they really come alive.
Yes.
You see there's an energy to them. I remember reading an interview with Jane Fonda, and she talked about the lens of the camera and getting energy from the lens of the camera. And I didn't feel that way. I felt like the camera was a black hole that was sucking out, you know, all ability to be free and play and all of that stuff. And so I think I was just more interested in, I was always on set. I never wanted to go to my trailer while they were setting up the lights. I wanted to see what the DP was doing. I wanted to know what kind of camera he was using. I was interested in the whole process of film, and that's really, I wanted to be the storyteller.
And if you had, if history had happened a different way, you'd been cast in some show and it was huge and you were huge and you were a big famous actor at 28, I mean, would you have missed the thing you should have done? I mean, directing is what you should be doing instead
directing
of acting?
Directing is always what I should. I had people, you know, I had, when I was a kid, I orchestrated my birthday parties. Like, they were these epic, kids coming to my birthday party would get a character description and a full bio and then their relationship to everyone
and
else
a
at
trailer.
The party. I mean, they would have to come in costume and character and stay in character for my entire birthday party. And I would write these massive plays almost that kids had to come. I mean, it was like this mini dictator.
Yeah.
But it was always, I was always sort of interested in narrative and writing and create storytelling. So yes, I think had I stayed an actor, it would not have used the best part of me.
Right. And you have had this successful career as a television writer, including on staff for the first three seasons of Orange is the New Black, which everyone loves. And you wrote one of the earliest and certainly most talked about episodes of that show that featured this transgender character, Sophia, that Laverne Cox plays. Here is a clip from your episode, and I guess a heads up for listeners, this gets pretty graphically anatomical.
The bottom line is that the prison can no longer provide high-end hormones.
If I don't get my medication, I'm going through withdrawal, hot flashes, night sweats. My face will sag. My body hair will start to grow back.
Okay, we don't need to get into
it. Let me explain this for you. When my penis was split in half and inverted, my testes were removed. So I don't have any testosterone left to replace the estrogen that you've taken away from me.
What do you want from me?
That's Michael Harney and Laverne Cox in Orange is the New Black. Now, this was before Transparent was on, and so had TV viewers really ever seen a storyline featuring a trans character?
There were no trans characters. Right. I mean, there had been one on Dirty Sexy Money. There was one trans character. But when I went to write that episode, I was so fearful, honestly. I was not part of the trans community. I didn't know, you know, I was writing this very nuanced, deep character, and I went and met with a lot of trans people and people that were transitioning. I talked to support groups in LA. You know, and I remember talking to one of the women who was running a support group in LA, and she said to me, it's so great that you're doing this trans character and we need that. Can she not be in prison? And I said, well, no, she has to.
Where we do this show.
She has to be in prison because everyone's in prison. It's a prison show. And she said, well, then can she be innocent? Because, you know, we have so few depictions of trans people on television that, you know. And I said, no, she can't, because she's a human being who made mistakes. And I think that's what people responded to so much about that character, is she was flawed. She was a real person. There wasn't this martyr, you know, token, we're going to show this person, but she's not going to feel real.
Well, where historically, as various different ethnic and other groups have become mainstreamed in show business ways, first they have to be perfect people. Then we can show them with their warts and all.
But, and it's been a flaw, I think, of you know, nobody wants to be a token or be a symbol or be, you know, and actors are looking for these complicated, flawed, morally ambiguous, you know, I'm like, yes, we're showing this person and we're showing her and she's, you know, married and she's having trouble with her wife and her son hates her right now because he's traumatized, because of course he is. He's 11. You know, I think so, having these kind of dynamic conversations and then having feedback from trans people afterwards who felt like, thank you for pushing that forward.
You didn't get, I mean, given that you disobeyed the request to make her nicer and better, you didn't get pushback or you're horrible from the trans community?
I didn't. It might have been out there. It wasn't coming at me. I would expect via Twitter or somewhere I would feel that. Yes. But I didn't feel it. And I'm so grateful. And to look at the movement that happened, the cover of Time magazine with Laverne Cox, the Transparent coming out, this conversation, the awareness that has become part of the zeitgeist, and to feel like I had a tiny little piece in that process is so fulfilling.
And so now that you've made this very good film that no doubt many people will see and will get great reviews, and you have this television career, I mean, given your absolute druthers for the next 10 years, are you mainly a film director or also a television creator?
I would like to create a television show. I certainly have. I think it's exciting time for TV. There's so many outlets. It's how people are consuming media and story. I think those are my main interests. I think I'd like to direct films and I'd like to create a series. I think they're split, and I don't know how to do them both at once and be a mother to two young children, but that's the goal.
You're having it all.
Having it all is so damn tiring.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's a very good film. Sean Hader's movie Tallulah is in theaters and streaming on Netflix right now.
If I could be, baby, where you are.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun.
It was indeed.
I can't believe you got me to reveal that I kissed Casey Affleck. I thought we weren't being
recorded. There you go. Call People Magazine right now.
Oh, my God.
If I could see, baby, what you see.